It's around 4:44 in the afternoon on the 4th of November, 1985. Today I'd like to talk with you about Dharma. Dharma is a Sanskrit word that means the way or the law. It has many other meanings. I interpret Dharma in a universal sense and an individual sense. The universal Dharma is life, that is to say, the word implies existence as it is. The earth rotating at an exact speed, the seasons changing each year in a proper succession, the sun rising in the east, setting in the west, molecules and atomic structures holding together by prescribed patterns. All of these actions, birth, growth, maturation, decay and death, and rebirth, all of the patterns of life, not simply the patterns themselves, but that which holds them together is Dharma. The universal Dharma is simply the way things are. But there's also a more precise Dharma for each individual, for each nation, for each world, for each dimensional plane. Dharma, in this sense, means filling the proper absence. A door fits perfectly into a doorway. When you shake hands with somebody, the two hands unite perfectly. So Dharma is something then that exists for every situation and for every being. There's a Dharma for your life, a way it should be lived. There's a Dharma, an etiquette, you might say, for every situation that you're involved in. There's a Dharma for meditation and people who meditate. There's a Dharma for warriors and fighters. There's a Dharma for poets, a Dharma for accountants, a Dharma for lovers, a Dharma for the enlightened, a Dharma for criminals. For everyone, there's a way to be. There's an ancient template which few people are very much in touch with. When your life is in harmony with your individual Dharma, or when the lives of those in a particular world, like our planet Earth, are in harmony with their world, then life is very beautiful. When harmony does not occur, that is to say, when the Dharma is not lived properly, then life is in a state of imbalance. There's little or no happiness. So, finding the Dharma is the quest. Living the Dharma is the challenge. What is your Dharma? Now, Dharma and karma, of course, are interrelated. Sometimes you'll hear a person say, well, that's your karma, meaning that you're in a certain type of situation or something has occurred to you which was unavoidable. Unavoidable because at a past time or in a past life you created a certain type of situation, or you generated some energy, you acted in a way, didn't act, you did or did not do something, either inwardly or outwardly, that created a series of causal events, a chain, which eventually comes back to you. Dharma is different than karma. Karma is the law of cause and effect. You could say the dharma of karma is action and the result of action. But you can follow your dharma or not. If you follow your dharma, then you might say that you will generate good karma, and if you don't, you'll generate bad karma. I personally think that's a sort of a simplistic way to look at it. From my point of view, dharma and karma are not really bound by good and bad specifically. Well, those are abstract concepts, concepts of good and bad that vary from person to person and culture to culture. I see these things in a much more analytic way. So the dharma is doing the proper thing, thinking the proper thought, feeling the proper feeling. Naturally, if you're like me, you're going to ask at some point, well, who thought all this up? Who says there's a proper thought, a proper feeling, a proper action? And I would think you might get kind of angry at the idea that if your life deviates from a certain course or form or etiquette, that it's going to be exceedingly painful, and that when it's in that proper balance, it'll be happy. Now, I suppose logically, once you find the way to lead your life and it makes you happy, it only makes sense just to do it. But I don't know about you, I'm an American. And we Americans, we feel restricted sometimes, even by things that are right. Good karma, in other words, can bind you too. Doing what's right can be a real pain if you do it all the time, because then you can get caught in the trap of thinking you're right and of doing what's right, which is another ideation, another philosophical interpretation or way of seeing existence. So I am very sympathetic with the individual who feels that they're bound by dharma, that it's frustrating. But let me give you a little piece of advice here. I better not say advice, because that immediately makes people uptight and they want to do the opposite. Let me make a vague recommendation. And my vague recommendation is that whether you like it or not, dharma is there. And when you don't follow the dharma, it hurts like hell. And life is miserable and nothing works out pleasantly. And when you do follow the dharma, everything is perfection. Why the dharma is there, how it got to be that way, no one can really say. Oh, there are theories, cosmological explanations, but they're just a lot of words. It just is. The same way a leaf is, a tree is, a person is. You can say, well, a leaf is because it came from a tree and it grew a certain way. You can say a person is, well, they grew a certain way and they evolved. But, you know, that doesn't really explain anything, does it? It doesn't tell us why it really is. It just is a way of analyzing growth in time. And all these wonderful explanations only trap us into believing that that's all there is to it. In other words, you can look at a person and think of them in terms of what they are. A person is the way they appear to be. You know that people come from other people. People have sex and they produce little people. You know the evolution of the sperm and the ovum and how they form together to create a type of life. You know about the DNA and the RNA. You know about Sears and Roebuck and buying shoes for little kids. And you know about cotton candy and circuses and Disneyland and going to school and studying biology and going on your first date and, oh, boy just getting a job and just trying to get, being sick and having the flu and having to sit around in bed and pain, and when someone doesn't love you or you don't get what you want and it's not working out, or there's just nothing exciting happening, nothing good is on TV ever. And you get all these notions and ideas about human life, and you look at a person and you figure, well, that's what a person is. A person is someone who grows a certain way, develops a certain way, is made up of certain things, has the types of experiences that all people do within certain variable limits, and you think that's what a person is, or a leaf, or a tree, or a frog, or Godzilla. Well, let me tell you, that's not it at all. Those are ideas, and they may or may not be true, but whether they are or not, to believe that that's all there is to life, and to think that that's all there is to a person or a leaf or a frog or Godzilla, is to not see existence, to miss almost everything. So Dharma then has a lot to do with perception. In order to perceive the proper Dharma for yourself or for any situation, you really need a handle on seeing. Seeing is a sense of availability. The cosmos is available to us in various ways, and we're available to the cosmos in various ways. It's a sort of a time-sharing program. Lend-lease. The Dharma must be apprehended. We're going to put up wanted posters. Wanted the Dharma. We're going to get it. We'll put it in every post office. We're going to get that sucker. We're going to offer a very big reward. We're going to find that Dharma. Then we're going to lock it up. We're going to have us a necktie party. I've never understood ties and neckties, but I suppose they're the Dharma of business. Anyway, let's get back to the Dharma here. Now, hold it just a moment there, partner. You're talking about this Dharma. Now, you all tell me about this Dharma. I want to know, what good is Dharma going to do me when my cattle die, when the water dries up, and when my woman runs off with the camel that lives across the street? I heard of things that's kinky, but this is ridiculous. Now, listen, partner, I want to know about this here Dharma. Now, you're going to talk about it, buddy, or you're going to be in big trouble.
I'll talk. I'll tell you all about the Dharma. You don't have to apply any force, and I'm sorry about your wife and the camel. But, but you may wonder at this point what's happening on this tape and whether it was truly worth the investment. Well, let's consider it for a moment. What is the Dharma of self-discovery? Okay, now let's get right into it and let's forget all the waffle talk. What is the Dharma of self-discovery? What is your Dharma? Well, your Dharma is to fill in the blank, meditate, find yourself, pull your power together, get the hell out of this world, find that mystical doorway that leads into eternity, learn to meditate perfectly, learn to be humble and stop being such an egotistical prig, settle yourself down and smile more and frown less. Learn to care more about others than you care about your sniveling, miserable old self. If your Dharma is self-discovery and psychic development, then you need to learn, within certain constraints, how to be perfect. Perfectly nice. Oh, we all house all heavens and hells within our navel chakras, I'm sure. I mean, it's all in there somewhere. But the real Dharma, the true way, is obscured. You may be familiar with the term yuga, Y-U-G-A. Yuga is a measurement of time that they used, the ancient Indian philosophers used. And they say that there are four yugas in a cycle of creation. Yugas last millions and millions of years each. And in the first yuga, when the universe is first created, it's easiest to see and practice the Dharma. And in each succeeding yuga, the psychic fields of attention of the universe become more obscured, the vibratory rates shift.
it's harder to see the truth. It's harder to be happy. In the first yugas, it was paradise. And then in each succeeding yuga, there's more corruption, more violence. When we reach the final yuga, which is the Kali Yuga, which is the yuga that we're said to be in now, we're said to be in the time of greatest darkness, when everything is inverse, when the ignorant rule instead of the wise, when injustice is prevalent, when darkness covers over the land, when the wisdom of the teachers is ignored, and the insanity of the perverse becomes the common way. So we live in such a time now, and at such a time higher souls come into the world, are born here for a time to reestablish the Dharma. They bring truth into daily life. We call these souls avatars, meaning that they're very advanced souls that come here specifically to teach. They've already reached a state of spiritual liberation themselves. And they come into this world to teach, to be of service to others, and also just to check the world out, because they got the brochure that told them that this was a nice place to visit for a little while. Sometimes the brochure, like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, needs a little updating, though. So here we are in the 20th century, in the time of darkness. People talk about a golden age. Don't hold your breath. It's not the Dharma. This is the end. Yet for every ending, there's a new beginning, and there is a golden age inside yourself. I wouldn't worry too much about a golden age occurring on the earth if you can attain liberation, if you can reach high levels of psychic attention. Then you'll see beauty wherever you go, and perfection is everywhere, and it doesn't matter what the age is or what everyone else is doing. Psychic people and occult people have learned to use attention, awareness, to focus, to reach other worlds, and to create those worlds within themselves. This is the Dharma of the psychic. As a psychic person, your dharma is to evolve your psychic abilities, to visit the great teachers and learn from them, and see them whenever you can. The more time you can spend in the physical presence of the teachers, the better for you, because the real teachers generate a tremendously high field of energy. Whether they're giving a talk on psychic development or meditation or occultism or any of these things, or they're just playing, throwing a frisbee, going to a movie, going for a walk, doing their laundry, it doesn't matter. Their souls vibrate at very, very high rates. Their dharma is to teach others. But the real psychic teaching, of course, is not done simply through conversation. It's done through the psyche. Being around that vibratory rate of a teacher changes a receptive individual whose dharma it is to learn the psychic way. The dharma of the psychic individual, which of course is you, is very, very different than the dharma of the individual who's not psychically developed. I'm really not going to spend much time talking about the individual dharma of those who are not psychically developed. They obviously have a lot of things to grow through and work on, souls in earlier stages of development. So that's what they do. They get married and have babies and learn through experiences of relationships and families and
careers. They go through hundreds and thousands of births and deaths, growing and evolving in each incarnation. But you reach a certain point where you've kind of worked out most of that. Oh, you still go through it again in each life, but it's pretty simplistic. Once you grow up a little bit and understand a little more of who and what you are, you realize that you're alone. The Dharma of psychic people is to be alone. You're by yourself and always have been. And the facade of family and friends, of career, of meaning even, falls away. And you see that you are alone in the universe, in the universal attention, and that that's a very good place to be. And while you may be alone on your own odyssey, developing your psyche, recalling past life, fields of attention, becoming complete, at the same time you see that you are the universe. You are connected with all life forms. All beings are a part of your own self. You are all things and in all things. So then there's never any loneliness. The universe is your constant companion. It's always with you. But naturally, growing up in the world, you've been conditioned. You've been conditioned to fear being alone, to fear everything just about. You've grown to think of yourself as a person with a definition of a person that people in this world and this society have. But I assure you that you're not. If you're listening to this tape, if you're drawn to the workshops that I do or others do in this area, then that automatically tells you that you have evolution. Your interest in these subjects tells you that you are an evolved being, and you need to remember that. It's nothing to be egotistical about. It's just a stage, a growth plane, a level in school. But still, you are what you are. And if you forget that, then you won't command some of the personal power you have that will enable you to follow what is the Dharma for you. The Dharma for yourself is to evolve, to develop your psychic abilities. That's what we do as psychic people. We develop ourselves and we also help others do the same. We help the teachers with their work by helping them in any way we can and learning from them. If you're a student, if you're one who studies these arts. As a teacher, you teach, channel knowledge and experience, power, and you just exist in the world and vibrate, and just your presence in the world elevates the attention field of the world. You're not special. You're just useful, that's all. The Dharma is to develop yourself. So part of that Dharma is to have a strong physical body. If your body is weak, you will not be able to deal with the high-level vibratory forces that come through the psyche as you develop it. When you meditate and begin to develop your psychic abilities, tremendous surges of kundalini will pass through you, so you need a really strong body. Regardless of what your age is, you need to exercise. It's very important. Run, swim, do yoga, tennis, hike, ski, walk, to exercise, sit-ups, push-ups, aerobics. It doesn't matter if you're elderly, if you're handicapped, you can still do some type of exercise. Exercise those muscles that move, walk, work with your arms, whatever you can do. It's very, very important in any way you can to build your body up. At the same time, you have to build up your intellect. The Dharma for one who practices the psychic arts is to have a very strong mind. So it's important that your job challenges your mind, and it's necessary to do a very good job at your job. The Dharma is perfection for people who wish to develop their psychic attention. That means you can't cheat anyone, because you only end up cheating yourself when you do. It means you have to be honest as you can be in all situations.
It means that you have to clear your mind and let go of attachments, let go of the people who you're trying to hold on to. Love and appreciate people, have friends, enjoy your family if it's enjoyable. But no one should be in your thoughts. If a lot of people are in your thoughts during the day, then that, of course, tells you that you're heavily attached or others are pushing their way psychically into you. You see, you're very receptive. As a psychic individual, you pick up thought forms and vibrations, and the majority of thoughts that are in your mind aren't even your own thoughts. They're the thought forms of others. So the Dharma for someone who practices psychic development is to learn to clear the mind of thoughts. Naturally, the most immediate time that one does that is during the period of meditation. It's essential, at least twice a day, to sit and practice meditation, to stop your thoughts. When you stop thought, you cleanse the psyche. And at that time, your receptors are turned on completely, and you will be able to input the messages from the cosmos, from the galaxy, from other planes of attention, from higher celestial spheres and beings. You see, everyone vibrates at a different rate. All of life vibrates. And the more evolved you are, the faster you vibrate, the faster you process. It's like a faster computer. When you vibrate at a higher rate, that creates certain sensitivities and special conditions whereby you need to lead your life in a little bit different way than people who vibrate at a different rate. Someone who vibrates at a different rate may be able to eat a kind of food that would make you sick, that makes them healthy. They may be able to go to places and do things that don't work out for you. Yet you will be able to do things vibrating at a higher rate that they can't even imagine, have experiences, perceptions, and understandings. So psychic people from time immemorial and occultists have learned to lead a different type of life. Our lives are a little more withdrawn. They're withdrawn into the self because that's where our energy is. That's where our realms are that we explore. We're voyagers. Yet at the same time, it's necessary as a psychic or occultist to be able to effectively deal with the world and not to be afraid to go out and mix with people, have a job, work, be successful, make some money, have a good time, go to a good restaurant. The Dharma for the psychic individual is not to hide away on the top of some mountain. But to move back and forth between solitude and interaction with the multitude, yet always to preserve a sense of separativity from all others. Otherwise, your psychic gifts won't work well. In other words, think of it as being an athlete. You want to be in the Olympics, right? So you're going to spend many, many years developing and preparing your body. And each year, the body will get stronger. Occasionally, you may have an accident. You may have to take some time to heal. Then you start over. But it comes back more and more quickly each time. Once you've been successful at something, it's always easier to be successful at it the second time. And so on. So you're developing your psychic abilities. That's the Dharma for a psychic person. To not develop your psychic abilities, to ignore them, is adharma. It's against the Dharma. And that will cause you great pain and suffering. To not lead a life that is suitable for a person who vibrates at a higher level, a faster pace, to try and pretend that that world doesn't exist and that you're not part of it, to run away from it, to hide, will cause you tremendous pain and suffering. God has given you a gift, and that gift is your soul, which vibrates at a certain level. That gift is your evolution, your psychic abilities. To not develop them is to go against the Dharma. It'll be very painful for you because you'll always know that you failed. You'll always know that you were a chicken. You will always know that you were unfulfilled. And in your next life, the situation will not be karmically very good either.
you set yourself up badly for your next incarnation, and it'll be even more difficult than this one was. And so on and so on. You know, you can go into a chain of devolving incarnations. You know, incarnation doesn't always go upward. If you set up the karmic patterns badly, it might take hundreds of lifetimes to get back to a solid footing again. So it's most important to do it right in this life. Dharma is fun. It's easy. But you must have the stillness. The stillness is where you sense that rightness. You know, the question, of course, with Dharma is, well, Rama, you say that I should follow the Dharma, but what the heck is it? Well, certainly, I and others try and recommend what the Dharma is, generally, you know, in the tapes and in talks that I give. Mostly the way I teach it is, of course, just by vibrating at a very high rate. That's what real teachers all do. Real psychics, I'm a psychic. Seer, visionary, occultist, enlightened being, and beings like that, others, and others on the planet like myself. The way we really teach is through attention, by shifting your awareness. As I'm talking on this tape right now, I'm shifting your awareness. Naturally, I'm not bound by this little piece of celluloid that's zipping around inside your walk person or car or tape player or stereo or whatever you're listening to this on. I can touch you right now from where I am. I'm outside of time. I really don't need. For example, let me show you something. Show you a little trick. It's not a trick per se. It's an advanced maneuver and attention. I'm going to transmit a block of attention to you right now. And if you listen to this tape again, of course, I'll transmit a different block of attention, or maybe the same one, who knows? But I want to show you something about psychic development here, the way it's really taught. So in a moment, this is what I'd like you to do. Needless to say, don't do this if you're driving in your car and listening. I'd like you to close your eyes and relax. Go ahead, close them. Close your eyes. Fermez les yeux. Close your eyes. Baby, relax. Stop the thoughts. Don't think about anything. Just listen to my voice for a moment, because it's going to stop in a second. I'm going to transmit something to you. I'd like you to focus on your third eye. That is to say, the third eye is between the eyebrows and slightly above. So just try and feel that area. Okay, you might want to put your finger there for a moment and press down between the eyebrows and about an inch above, and then remove the finger just so you get a sense of where the area is. Now what I'm going to do right now is transmit something. To you. Wherever I happen to be at the moment, this tape is just going to be our interactive medium. But I'll be somewhere when this tape is made, in the body or out, someplace on the planet or off planet. And when you do this, I'll feel you. I'm going to transmit a block of attention, not a particular thought or an image, but a complex of interdimensional lines. I'm going to transmit them to you right now. Okay, so focus on your third eye, feel that area, relax. And here we go. It's going to be just a minute or so of stillness. Well, not that long. I'm going to process something very quickly from myself to you. Here we go. One, two, three, zing. Go. There you go. Relax. Open your eyes. Look at the nice world that we find ourselves in. We're only here for a while. Enjoy it. I've just transmitted a message to you, not a message to go someplace and do something. A message about life, an understanding. That's a
psychics teach. Advanced psychics, enlightened beings. The way you really discover the Dharma is you have to learn to do this for yourself. That's what meditation is all about, sitting down and stopping your thoughts, practicing gazing, concentration, and meditation exercises. As I outline at the seminars, or in these tapes, or in books, or as others do, or as you've discovered for yourself. The key is to sit down each day for about half an hour to an hour, twice at least. Twice is fine. And still your thoughts. Focus on your third eye, or your navel center, or heart center, or any place you want, or no particular focus. Just open yourself to the cosmos. That's your time when you're cleansing your psyche, just like you take a shower every day and wash off your body. So people who are advanced have to wash their psyches every day, just like the athlete has to go out and work out for several hours a day. So it's necessary to cleanse the psyche, because the psyche is your tool. If you're dependent upon your car for your business, your car always has to be in good shape if you're a racing car driver. So in the same sense, if you're psychic, your psyche is most important. That is your tool, and you have to take care of it, and you have to make it stronger and stronger. So meditating is the Dharma for one who is psychically developed, and to meditate with more and more proficiency and love and abandon and discipline each day, each month, each year, to develop that psyche and to make it strong as possible, so that when you die, it will be the kite that you will hook yourself onto that will fly you into other worlds. And you'll be able to take flights in this life too. You don't have to wait till death. The kite of knowledge and power that we fly on, you know, that we affix ourselves to, is our psyche. So that's why the Dharma is to groom your life, to slowly perfect it over a period of years, to not get frustrated and feel you have to do it all in a week or two, to not be upset by little failures that you may have, but to be patient. The Dharma is patience for all of us in this field. We know that we live on a planet that's not very evolved. Most of the souls here are not advanced. So it's very uncomfortable, sometimes extremely painful. Psychic and occult people, spiritual people, are always misunderstood. So we don't try and be understood. We don't tell people what we are or what we do. We're very quiet and inaccessible. We know each other and respect each other, even though our ways are slightly different. That's the Dharma, is to respect other people and the practices, in what we call the arts. And we never interfere with each other. That is the code. The Dharma for people in the psychic and occult practices is to never interfere with each other. We never use our powers and abilities to do anything but advance each other. It's a mutual protection association. We never interfere with each other. We don't get mad at each other. And if we do, we quickly correct that, because it is never the Dharma to attack or injure a brother or sister in the practice. And whenever you're angry with someone as a psychic person, you develop and project a field of energy. As soon as you're mad at someone, you slam them with a wall of energy. As soon as you're jealous of someone, you slam them with a wall of energy. As soon as you focus on someone sexually and you desire them, you slam them with a wall of energy. So we don't go around desiring people all the time, because we're just slamming them with energy all the time. It's a waste of attention. That's not the Dharma for psychic people. The Dharma for psychic people is to feel sexual energy when they're having sex, but not all the time. It takes too much of your attention up, eats up too much memory in the CPU. Don't need it. Sexual energy is interesting. It's a very erratic kundalini. If you like sex, it's an interesting exchange of energies. It also causes a residual drop in energy. When you have sex, it requires a great deal of energy, of life force. It expends it. So a lot of psychic and occult and spiritual people do not have sex. Some do. They feel they have the energy to use. But even so, whenever you have sex with someone, you create a tremendously strong networking with that individual, a psychic bond that doesn't end when you get out of bed or off the floor or whatever. The Dharma for psychic people is to love and be very unattached. To know that you're only in this world for a little while and that you've come from other worlds and that one day you'll return to them. But you will only return to them when you fully develop. That's the karma of psychic people. So your challenge in this life is to develop yourself through all the hardships and adversities and beauties that you'll pass through in this life. The Dharma for you is to develop yourself, to learn to be honest with yourself and not lie to yourself, to know what your real motives are and not feel bad about them, but at least be honest about them with yourself or yourselves, to realize you're composed of many different selves. They're different voices, and not all of them are healthy, and to only choose to listen to those voices inside the self that are beneficial, that lead you to a good place, to a happy state, to a state of inner stillness, to avoid things that upset you, types of music, types of food, experiences, movies, places, faces in the news, places of power that overamp you, and to work on that stillness and developing those psychic abilities. You have to practice being psychic. It doesn't just happen. It's like exercising a muscle. You've got to do it, and if you do it, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Naturally, you don't have to be a strong person athletically to practice these arts. You have to keep your body as strong as can be. But our strength is in our attention field. That's where we work our miracles. That's where we create universes and change our lives. So the Dharma for a psychic person is to be psychic, to develop, to meditate, to be aware, to be kind, to be patient, and to know that you have a dark side and it has to be mastered. It's not bad. The dark side isn't bad. It's another part of us. But it has to be channeled in a useful way. You need to learn to be still. And all your answers will come from that stillness, and to try and spend time both alone and with other people who are psychically developed, with teachers when you can. They're not usually that available because they spend a lot of time alone and just send out energy throughout the cosmos like stars shining, sending light in all directions. But to be with your friends in the arts, to be inaccessible and not let people inside you, in your psyche, to preserve your psychic integrity, and to be kind always. This is the Dharma for someone like yourself, of course. The universe is always changing. Our lives are like water. We flow, not knowing where we've come from, not knowing where we're going, only sure of that which we are. We are not anything particular, we're attention. We're awareness. Whatever your awareness moves into, you say that you are. So if your awareness moves into a body, you say, I'm a person, if it's the body of a person. When you go into the astral worlds, when your attention moves into the astral, you say, well, I'm in the astral, or I am the astral, or I'm an astral being. We are what we assume. When your attention moves in.